It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Leaked documents may reveal the locations of thousands of microphones used to detect gunshots in major cities, including Milwaukee. We learn about this intelligence that contributes to police response. Call in with a question. You can add your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dhruv Mehrotra is an investigative data reporter for Wired. His report is called Here Are the Secret Locations of ShotSpotter Gunfire Sensors. Dhruv, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Your investigation reveals the location of more than 25,000 of these ShotSpotter sensors. You found more than 100 are in Milwaukee. What is significant about learning the locations of these sensors?
Yeah, well, activists and academics criticize the company SoundThinking, who makes these sensors, basically saying that the tech is inaccurate and it primes police to go into low-income communities of color expecting gunshots when they likely won't find any. So until now, the precise locations of the sensors have been a secret, even from the police departments who contract with the company. So this is the first time we're getting a real window into where the company puts its tech. And what we found is that, more than 12 million Americans live in a neighborhood with at least one ShotSpotter sensor. In aggregate, nearly 70% of the people who live in a neighborhood with one of these sensors identify as Black or Latina, and nearly 3/4 of the neighborhoods with one sensor are majority non-white.
Can you step back and explain how this technology works, how these sensors operate?
Yeah, on the face of it, the tech is sort of straightforward. The company will work with police departments and install little sensors like microphones on streetlights and traffic signs that are sort of algorithmically tuned to detect gunshots. So when it hears something, when one of these microphones hears something that sounds like a gunshot, and the company calls these impulsive noises, the microphone or the sensor will send an alert to an incident review center, which will then vet the sound and make sure it was actually a gunshot.
And not fireworks, for instance?
Yes, exactly. And make sure it's not fireworks or something like that. And then they will forward that alert, if it is in fact a gunshot, to dispatchers, who will then send police to investigate the incident.
How does machine learning or AI, is that a piece of this type of technology?
It is. So there's a lot we don't know about how exactly the technology was trained, but the sensors themselves are tuned to sort of detect gunfire. So I believe, they've probably trained these things on the sound of gunfire to be able to, properly discern what is a firework from a gun.
And how similar are gunfire detection systems that are provided by other companies? I mean, this is a whole marketplace, I would imagine.
That's a good question. And I can't really tell you. SoundThinking is the sort of most notorious player in this marketplace. Mm-hmm. And they're certainly the biggest with around 160 clients now is what they told me. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't know how their system measures up to other similar gunshot detection systems.
So why is the company secretive about the locations of its sensors?
Well, they say it's to protect both their property, which are the sensors themselves, as well as to detect, to protect the private property of the people who allow them to mount sensors on their property. So the way that this works, according to the company, is that the sensor deployments are not informed by race or anything like that. The company, when they contract with a police department, will ask the department who purchases the system for data about gun violence, which the company says is characterizes as objective. And then they'll recommend a plan for sensor placement. And, once a plan is agreed upon by the department, the company will seek permission from private property owners utility companies and businesses to install these sensors on their premises. So the point of keeping these locations secret is to sort of protect those people who cooperated with law enforcement, as well as to protect the sensors themselves, according to SoundThinking.
I would imagine police departments would have to provide very granular information to this company, ShotSpotter, in order for ShotSpotter to place these detectors, these sensors, in places where there is more gunfire than in other neighborhoods? Or, you know, what information might be most helpful for ShotSpotter in this situation?
I mean, the truth is we don't know, right? SoundThinking says it's objective data that they receive from police departments, but without seeing that, quote, objective data, we have no idea. So, you know, I can imagine a situation where, let's say, arrest data is included, and those arrests include drug arrests, right? Those arrests are subject to enforcement bias. So there might actually be some kind of bias that creeps into where the deployments are. So, you know, we just don't know exactly what data SoundThinking uses to inform these deployment plans.
We're talking about this new report from Wired revealing the locations of more than 25,000 gunshot detection sensors. And we have Dhruv Mehrotra, who is an investigative data reporter at Wired. Call in with questions. Share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Can we talk about patterns? What patterns surface from your analysis of where these sensors are typically being located in communities?
Yeah. So I'd said this earlier, but I'll repeat it though. But so in aggregate, you know, nearly 70% of the people who live in a neighborhood with at least one SoundThinking sensor identify as Black or Latina. Three quarters of those neighborhoods are majority non-white, and the average household in a neighborhood with one sensor earns a little bit more than $50,000 a year. So, you know, the general trend here is that these are low-income communities of color. And, you know, we looked at the sort of data on aggregate, but we also looked in individual jurisdictions, and we found sort of the pattern persists, right? These are placed in typically the poorest and the least white neighborhoods in a jurisdiction.
And then, so your analysis then provides evidence to concerns that these sensors are being primarily placed in low-income neighborhoods and in neighborhoods where the population is predominantly people of color.
That's right. And I think it's important to kind of state the limitation here of this analysis is that, you know, we don't know if so SoundThinking didn't dispute our findings, and SoundThinking also did not dispute the sort of underlying data here. But what they say is that, look, we're putting our sensors in areas that are disproportionately impacted by gun violence. And that's not an analysis that we did. So, you know, I'm hoping that this report adds some context to the debate around this stuff, but there's still more work to be done to figure out what exactly is happening here.
Because critics of this technology say it is disproportionately harming people of color. What do you make of where that debate stands in communities that are grappling with whether to have this technology as part of their community?
Yeah, I think it's very much an ongoing debate, and it all very much depends on the community, right? I've spoken to many people in communities that are impacted by violent crime who don't hate having these sensors around. They want more police there. But I also speak to people who are, you know, they say that when one of these sensors go off, you know, police come running in, you know, they might pick up someone on a bench warrant just because they're in the area where a sensor was. So, you know, they're saying that they are further criminalizing these same communities. So I think the debate is still raging. And I think the debate very much depends on the police department who's deploying these things and how they're going about their policing as well.
Dhruv Mehrotra is an investigative data reporter at Wired, exploring gunfire detection devices and their locations in cities. Call in with a question. You can bring your perspective at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security claims improved gunshot detection technology makes American communities of all sizes safer. A new report from Wired reveals secret locations of the gunshot detection system ShotSpotter, including over 100 locations in Milwaukee. Call in with a question, share your thoughts at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Dhruv Mehrotra is an investigative data reporter at Wired. Dhruv, Sound Thinking, the company behind ShotSpotter, maintains contracts, as you said, roughly with 150 American cities. How much control do city officials or police departments have in where these sensors are placed, where they're located?
That's a good question. It varies. So police departments, when they enter into a contract with Sound Thinking, and this is, you know, coming from the company itself, they say that basically the police department suggests, or they provide Sound Thinking with, you know, crime data, but they also will suggest like general areas of deployment, and Sound Thinking will come up with a plan for deployments that, you know, include like specific, you know, buildings and rooftops and things like that. Police departments don't know the specific buildings, but they do know the general area in which the gunshot detection systems are placed. And certainly they know the areas based on, you know, where they receive alerts. But I think, you know, in terms of precise latitude, longitude coordinates, the police departments apparently don't know where the stuff is.
Do you know how expensive this technology is for cities to maintain? I mean, is it the police budget that is paying for these contracts?
It's millions of dollars. It's an expensive software. It's, you know, can be paid for, but with grants and, you know, city funding as well. But, you know, it sort of varies in every city and based on the deployment itself.
Let's bring on a call. James in Kimberly is here. James, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on and talking about the subject. It kind of goes with kind of line of work I'm in. I work as a paramedic, and it seems to me I'm feeling that with this technology of this gunfire detection, it's like we're almost kind of behind the ball because, you know, we put these into a community, they detect the gunfire, then the police come down and whoever else, the responders, to help with whatever's happening, but then you're already behind the ball because the shots have been fired. It seems to me that, like, if we're going to have some kind of detection device or any kind of thing, we need to be more proactive and try to, like, not even get to the point to where the shots are fired, because even with detection and everything, that's great, and you can come in and still help the people, but it's going to be I just feel like we're behind the ball, and is the line of work, kind of line of work I'm in, you need to be there right away, or it just doesn't even need to happen.
Upstream, you're looking at upstream interventions that need to happen so that the gunfire doesn't take place in the first place. I'm wondering, James, as a first responder, is there this type of technology underway in your community? Do you know?
No way. No, don't even know about it. Never even heard about it. And I'm right here, like, in Wisconsin, and I've never even heard about any gunfire detection. The gunfire detection that we know about is people's ears.
James, thank you for that call. Which I wonder, Dhruv, you know, how does this technology compare to the speed and accuracy of those 911 calls through dispatch?
Yeah. You know, I think the most recent study out of the DOJ found that compared to 911 calls alone, ShotSpotter alerts bring police to a crime scene faster than with a 911 call. But, you know, crucially, that report also found that the software has no effect overall on public safety. So I think to the listener's point, right, that like perhaps this is like an effective detection tool, it's not actually making any dent on public safety, and it doesn't prevent gunshots from happening in the first place.
It is not lowering the incidence of gun violence overall, although it might lower response times. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's what the report found. But it's important to also mention that there are other reports that have found different things. I mean, this software has been studied for by statisticians for years now, so it's I think it really depends on the deployment and who's and sort of the data being used to study this stuff.
Let's bring in Mary Kay in Kenosha. Mary Kay, what would you like to share?
Microphones are illegal unless the people are notified that they're in the area. They are being abused now. You hear stories all the time that they got microphones in apartments, microphones in houses. Microphones can be abused.
Mary Kay, thank you for that. And it, you know, raises a concern, Dhruv, of how this technology might be used in arrests, in prosecution, in court.
Yeah. You know, the microphones, and, you know, the ACLU has come out and said this as well. But, you know, the ACLU's concerns about these microphones aren't that they're listening. I think they've done some sort of technical analysis to make sure that these things aren't actually being used to eavesdrop on people. The main concern here is that it really over-criminalizes particular areas in a city by drawing police to the area, who then will, you know, either not find evidence of a gunfire or just pick up whoever is on the scene on a misdemeanor or something like that. As well as, of course, there's some high profile incidents of, you know, false arrests because of this stuff. So I think the microphone aspect of this is super, is truly concerning. You're right to point that out. And it sounds concerning on the face of it, but the sensors appear to be tuned for loud, impulsive sounds.
We're talking about this new report revealing the locations of more than 25,000 gunshot detection sensors. Dhruv Mehrotra is an investigative data reporter for Wired. You can join in with questions and comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Dhruv, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson has previously expressed support for his city's use of the ShotSpotter program. How have city officials responded to your investigation about the locations of these sensors? What has the feedback been like?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've gotten some requests from city council members in different cities for the data so that they can do their own analysis, which is interesting in itself because, you know, it sort of proves that it's even difficult for city council to get the information that Wired was able to obtain. So, I think the response has been largely curiosity. I've seen some feedback that, you know, our report is making the community less safe. And I've seen other reports that sort of, you know, confirm that, you know, like that these sensors are in fact placed in the low-income communities in their jurisdiction. And people are saying that cops are showing up and, giving people a hard time in the area.
Your investigation says roughly one in every 10 sensors were categorized as broken, unreliable, or out of service last year. What consequences are there for broken sensors?
Yeah, I mean, I think a really dramatic example of this is that in Chicago, a ShotSpotter missed like a 55-round shooting. And according to leaked emails obtained by the publication who reported this out, Southside Weekly, the cause of that was broken sensors. So, you know, I think there's a couple risks of broken sensors. One is, of course, that they miss shootings. Another is that they miscategorize shootings. And, you know, something that I hadn't mentioned in all of this is there've been multiple studies, both from, you know, data reporters at local outlets and from, you know, like the Chicago OIG, that basically found that the vast majority of gunshot detections from ShotSpotter don't lead to any evidence of gunfire. As in, police show up and they might search for casings or brass found on the ground, and they can't find any. So I think the efficacy of the software is really unclear at this point.
And that arriving at the scene and being dispatched to chase down perhaps an inaccurate or ShotSpotter alert, I mean, that would take police away from a real pressing call for service, I would imagine.
That's exactly right. And there have been some studies that have found that as well, that it makes the response to other calls for service much slower.
So as we start to wrap up here, the Wisconsin Supreme Court in 2022 upheld the use of the ShotSpotter system for probable cause searches of people located near a sensor report. How many states allow this technology to be used for probable cause searches? Where is that headed?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that question. What I can say is that the admissibility of ShotSpotter evidence has been challenged in court, and it has both been allowed in court, and other judges have found it too unreliable to use. So I've seen it both ways, but as for a count, I don't know.
What are cities doing about their contracts? It seems like Chicago may be taking its ShotSpotter offline later this year. That was the latest report in the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, that's right. Chicago appears to be dropping the software, at least in December, I believe, is when they're going to fully go offline. You know, high-profile cities have come out and said that, look, you know, we don't find that this software is worth the money. Chicago is one of the cities. Let me pull up a list so I don't.
And we're really short on time here, but I just want to thank you for this reporting and thank you for sharing it with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Dhruv Mehrotra, investigative data reporter at Wired. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.